News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5, 807 on Mobile Mornings. And there's construction of a new hotel just blocks from us. And constructing a new hotel is a very loud process, it seems. So we're dealing with some irritating pounding into the ground, and I don't know when it's ever going to end, and it's so loud.
I'd say it hopefully ends when they build the hotel.
You think they just keep pounding in the ground for the heck of it? It's the same sound that I hear out at South Alabama where they're constructing the medical center. So I don't know exactly what that is. On the text line, if you can tell me if you understand construction and the construction biz, and you're building something that's got to be five or six stories up, and you have this... What is it? What does that mean? It's 7 after 8 right now, and we turn our attention to the phone lines and Quinn Hillier.
Yes. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys, and good morning, listeners.
So I've been saying a bit of an own goal from the Trump administration yesterday with the report that Jeffrey Goldberg, co-editor of The Atlantic, no fan of Trump or the Trump administration, no doubt about that. But he gets an invite from National Security Advisor Mike Waltz and joins him on Signal. But then Waltz invites him to this group chat about the, at the time, incoming strikes on Yemen or outgoing strikes on Yemen. And Goldberg didn't, according to his own reporting and obviously the time on this, didn't report on this before the strikes. I think it took until the strikes landed before he realized that this was a real chat he was in. And then yesterday, the report comes out, and he said that while he did release some screenshots, and we saw, you know, the vice president in that chat, we saw Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, we saw the SecDef, Hegseth, Mike Waltz
Gabbard.
Was shooting emojis everywhere. They said Gabbard was in the chat. I didn't see her in the screenshots.
Okay.
But he held back, apparently, some of the conversation, he said, for national security reasons. The White House said this was what it looks like. That was a real chat about what was about to happen. But Hegseth kind of disputing what Goldberg classified as war plans. An own goal is what I've been calling this. What are your thoughts, Quinn?
This is one of the worst security breaches and one of the most unbelievable examples of incompetence that I have ever seen from U.S. government. Now, last week, I came on the show and I said, you know, one thing that we can credit President Trump with is at least he went after the Houthis rather than do pinprick attacks like Biden did for a year, and that this was a good thing that Trump did. But lo and behold, even though he did the right thing in my book, the way that all of his minions went after it was just outrageous on multiple levels. But let me also back up to when this whole crew, except for Rubio, was nominated, and I said, not, you know, everybody is paying too much attention to their personal problems, of which there were many, 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 many. But the worst thing is that they are unqualified, inexperienced, incompetent. I said that. Y'all heard me say it again and again, and that is proven to be the case. How the Secretary of Defense and the Director of National Intelligence and the number two guy, Joe Kent, in one of the intelligence bureaus, can even allow themselves to be on a text chat about military operations is beyond me. This is not encrypted. Even
it is. Signal is encrypted. Yeah. It's public. It's not a government entity, but Signal is probably the most end-to-end encrypted app out there.
But excuse me, it's not maybe encrypted is the wrong word because I'm a technotard. But this is not something that is not discoverable. Okay, I mean, and it's certainly absolutely not the secure communications that the U.S. government sets up. by law, it's not the secure communications, which is not something that is on this chat stuff, okay? Secondly, every communication that is official action should be, must be on something that is officially government approved, because it is public record, even if it doesn't become public record for 50 years because it's it has intelligence or whatever, at some point it is public record. So in two different ways, they broke laws and or procedures. But the worst thing of all is how any of these people in a position like that could have possibly thought that when you're discussing war plans, you can do something over what's basically a text message chat is absolutely astonishing.
I agree they were using the wrong app here, but it's not a text message app. This is it's used by, you know, it's used for illegal means, I think, mostly around the world because it's so well encrypted. But something that Scott Jennings said last night, and they shouldn't have been doing this. I'll agree 100%. Scott Jennings said that he was kind of digging around. These Signal apps were preloaded, so they had apparently been previously used by administrations. And he said this administration kind of just picked it up and we're using it as well. Not that that makes it right, but maybe, I don't know, it explains a little bit of this. One issue, yep, with Waltz being the one who allegedly invited Goldberg. Now, this does seem to be all on either Waltz or one of his staffers. When you're looking at these text threads, I guess you, once you're invited, you give yourself your own name, the way I understand it, in this Signal app. And so in those screenshots you saw, some were initials, some were fully spelled out names like Pete Hegseth. And maybe they just saw JG, or I don't know if Goldberg put his name on there. But this, and when they talked, you know, so often about the Hillary email server, which that was built-in infrastructure that she was using for a long term that was, you know, not, but this was obviously a mistake, and one that I'm sure that the left and Never Trumpers will just use. They're probably over the moon about this whole thing.
Look, how can somebody just because one of the principals invites somebody, how there can't be a check on that to see if this person that is now coming in is actually who it's supposed to be and actually authorized with security clearance, et cetera? How can you possibly have a secure system that lets somebody in just because one of the members invites you? There's something so incompetent here that it blows the mind. And how any of these other people could have communicated on a system that is not that does not have fail safes is beyond me, except that none of them have any experience in this sort of thing before, which is what I said all during the nomination process. It's pitiful.
So here's a couple of things I'm curious about, Dalton and Quinn. The invitation to Goldberg, who's with a publication that's not going to be very friendly to Trump. Do you think, in a way, this was reaching out to someone? Obviously, this was a mistake, but just reaching out to him in the first place, was that kind of hoping to gain some political favor, or what was the strategy behind
that? You're saying not related to this group chat.
Not related to this necessarily, but the initial involving him in any conversation.
It was clearly a stupid mistake, but that there is some reporting that Waltz or somebody had a friend whose initials are JG. It doesn't sound like Jeffrey Goldberg, but it's a J and a G. And he's probably scrolling through his phone or whatever device he's looking at, and he pushes the wrong JG. But again, if you can get somebody on a national security clearance thing only by pushing the wrong button, something is wrong. Clearly, nobody meant Goldberg was probably on his phone. Okay, Waltz was a congressman, I think. So Goldberg was probably on his phone from some interview that he did with him, and he just pushes the wrong thing. you should not be able to have somebody that easily admitted to a security clearance discussion. I mean, Congress people, when they discuss security, have to go into a SCIP, an SCIP. I forgot the it's a secure SCIF, Secure Communication Intelligence, whatever it is. The I can't think what the name is, but they have to go to a secure room. Ask Bradley Byrne about that. He had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is unconscionable, and I've got to say, I mean, usually I'm a press basher. Jeffrey Goldberg handled that exactly right by reporting on the stuff that wasn't intelligence, et cetera, and reporting the nature of what else he saw, but not reporting anything that he thought was actually actionable intelligence that could harm future or harm national security itself. He did it in a very patriotic way, and I've got to give him credit.
But harm the administration for sure. If and I get it. It's
so
a,
what?
All right. Hey, yeah. But let me ask you this. Goldberg gets this communication a year ago. All I'm saying is he's the story. Without Goldberg, there is no story. It's pretty unfortunate and stupid. Mm-hmm. He ended up with it. Does Goldberg do the same thing a year ago if it's a Biden administration?
Absolutely he does. Uh-huh. Absolutely he does, because journalists are always after a scoop. And they, I mean, look, even the crazy liberal New York Times had scoops that were damaging to Biden plenty of times, not enough, but plenty of times.
Well, we'll never know what they sat on, and he didn't sit on.
We do know some of what they sat on, his age.
But I guarantee you, something this big, no journalist mm-hmm. that is in a competitive field, a competitive part of journalism, rather than just say, you know, a weekend blogger,
mm-hmm.
would possibly sit on this.
That's exactly what you're saying. Just like the Atlantic went after that whole Hunter Biden laptop thing, right?
They thought wrongly. They were predisposed to think that was bunk, especially when 51 actual intelligence people tell them that they were bunk. They had a responsibility to go and pursue it further, rather because it was so obviously at least possibly plausible. And so they did sit on that, and I busted their chops for it. But that's different than having the information yourself directly. And no journalist, I guarantee you, would have sat on this.
I'm just saying, you just talked about how great of a journalist, the journalistic integrity of this man who... Obviously, they've lied, and they've over the years. I'm not saying he's lying here, and I'm not saying this was a terrible look for the Trump administration.
Define lie.
The suckers and losers quote. I mean, that was the most obvious when they dropped that just before the 2020 election. And that suckers came from the Atlantic.
What suckers and losers?
Where they said Trump at a military service called veterans suckers and losers, and that's been debunked times over. That was the Atlantic's publisher.
I don't think that's been debunked. You've had.
Yeah, what's your definition of debunked? Because people who were on the scene said it never happened.
Well, Mike, General Kelly said it did, and if General Kelly was right there, and I certainly have you ever seen any other indications that General Kelly lies?
Well,
no, you haven't.
But you're saying these are great journalists, and you're saying you can't blame them for taking the word of people who are telling them what they want to hear.
I'm saying exactly. I'm saying, yes, you can blame them for the Hunter Biden thing, but I'm saying it's a different thing than having the information right there directly in their own device. One is willful believing of 51 mm-hmm. security officers, and they say it so it fits your preconceptions. The other is actually having the evidence yourself and sitting on it. They're two different things. I didn't say this guy is a great journalist overall. I said in this case,
he did exactly
what he should do. Yes.
I tell you what we'll do, we'll turn our attention to local politics, because I know we've got some opinions on that. And I've been getting all these
the polls.
Polls
they're coming
showing up on my phone left and right.
one after another.
I'm like, look, we're going to have an election soon. Let's just...
The real poll.
Yeah. Let's leave it at that. Quinn, we'll be right back with you. It's 821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. That text line, 251-343-0106. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. You can find his work at quinnhillier.com, among other places.
You can. And right now I'm proud to endorse. Well, I'm not endorsing anyone for the Mobile mayoral election.
Aww.
Just don't know enough yet, Dan. And I guess that's what polls are for. We were talking a few weeks ago. There was a poll that came out. Now, it was just before Paul Prine announced his candidacy. I received another one here recently. Silly me, I assumed it was the same poll, mm-hmm. so I just ignored it. Quinn, the polls are coming out, and we're still months out from the election. What are your thoughts right now on where we stand and some of these recent maybe tellings from these polls?
Okay, look, I don't know the numbers on the polls. I'm not interested in the numbers in the poll. What I'm interested in is what the things that pretend to be polls that are actually backdoor ways of pushing information out there. They're called push polls. And right now there's one out. I got it on the phone. Rob Holbert reported on the same one over the weekend. That is a push poll. It's designed to make the listener or the participator think that what's important are his numbers. But the real idea is to push negative info out about your opponents and positive info out about you. So you say, how would you respond? Would it make you feel better or worse about the following candidate if you know X and if you know Y? And in this case, the push poll had negative info. It had mixed in some positive info, but had noticeably negative info on every candidate except two. It was sort of, you know, it had neutral stuff about Batiste for some reason, but it didn't have anything negative. But it had very positive and only positive stuff to say about Sherry Agotis, and even emphasize, what is your opinion of Lucy Greer, who is Sherry Agotis' wife, mm-hmm. and who, of course, the point is to associate him with the very popular Greers, and deservedly popular Greers.
And deservedly associated, I would say. They're married.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. But it doesn't ask about anybody else's wife, but it asks about her because the idea is to make sure you know that Sherry Agotis is a Greer and Greers are popular. Now, all of this is fine and good. It's a campaign tactic. But when you smear the other candidates or plant negative info about the other candidates in the guise of a scientific poll, mm-hmm. that's sort of dirty pool. Mm. Now, I don't know that Sherry Agotis' campaign did this poll, but I know that there was another similar poll when people were looking at getting in that helped dissuade other people that could have been good candidates from getting in because it put bizarre information out there about them. I mean, stuff that wouldn't ordinarily be described, but it was clearly trying to plant negative information. So this seems to be a tactic that Sherry Agotis' team is using. If it's not him, I apologize, but for all the world, it certainly seems like it. And whoever it is, it's sort of dirty pool.
It is. I just wonder how many people open those, and we've kind of seen the mud flying already. Now, what was a two-horse race, I'd say, is probably more of a three-horse race now between Hudson, Spiro, and Paul Prine, at least early on.
Yeah.
But remember, you had, was it John Gray a few weeks back, who I guess is maybe not directly associated with the Hudson campaign, but saying that Spiro was just going to take the mayor's staff and keep the train rolling. And that was meant to be like a you don't want to vote for this guy kind of thing is how I read into that.
Well, look, there's going to be some negativity. It just shouldn't be
in a
by
poll.
Subterfuge.
Yeah. Quinn, thanks for your time today, and we will reset in a week and talk to you then, okay?
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Quinn Hillier. And that's your Tuesday morning cup of coffee for you. Now we'll turn up your voice in a lot of texts, 251-343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Have you heard the phrase spring cleaning before?
I have not. So What does that refer to, Dalton? Catch me up on this on this new stuff the kids are saying.
So when it becomes springtime, a lot of people like to clean their house. I don't really know the whole history of the whole thing. I just know, you know, weather's nicer and you want to clean your house for some reason. It's probably better to keep up with that. But if you haven't, I encourage you to call or go online and have Trey Bennett's crew with 1-800-GOT-JUNK come out and do that spring cleaning for you. You can do a little spring watching. Why not? Have them take care of that junk for you, make it disappear. And we talk glowingly of Trey's crew there at 1-800-GOT-JUNK often. You can call and often get same-day service where they say, yeah, we've got an opening today. And then they'll call when they're on their way out. You get a free estimate when you get them on the line. No hidden fees, so no surprise charges after it's all said and done. And they have a bunch of five-star, which is the best you can get, five-star Google reviews from real, live, local people who have used their services. One from Karen here just a few days ago. Great company, extremely helpful, efficient, and professional. They go above and beyond. Would highly recommend. And in addition to that, I would highly recommend if you're looking for a job or have a child or someone you know, not a child, but a younger person who maybe wants to work with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they have an incredible crew there. And they are hiring right now in search of part to full-time help. If anyone knows someone 20 or older, not afraid to be dependable, sweat, get dirty, work independently, and able to lift 50 pounds. Yeah, heck yeah.
Some young guys just really like that. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of people that they hire.
They do. And so if you're interested, email trey.bennett@1800gotjunk.com. And while you're at 1800gotjunk.com, go ahead and set that appointment up.
By the way, speaking of spring cleaning, I cleaned my, well, not the whole thing, partially cleaned my refrigerator yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, that's a job right
How
there.
How nasty was that?
I had a jar of mayonnaise actually running from me, so I don't know what it morphed into.
It's grown. And it's alive.
Yeah. It's a good feeling. So do that cleaning and you'll feel better. Also, one thing that was kind of on both our agendas in the last month, I guess, and we got it done. Have you gotten your star ID yet? We both have. And we can tell you it takes you about an hour because you got it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we had I hope no one from Montgomery's listening. We time to time put a little pool together on how long things will take. So we were wondering, Leanna and I, how long it would take me to get that star ID.
Yeah.
I left right after the show, went over because to get the star ID, which I think the rest of the nation calls the real ID. And May 7th is the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
When you're flying domestically starting after May 7th, unless you have a second form of identification like a passport, which a lot of people have, then you won't be able to fly domestically. This isn't internationally.
Right.
You have to have the star ID. So we were wondering how long it would take. I thought it'd be much longer than it actually was. Leanna was pretty much right on the dot. It took about an hour, yeah.
And
or less.
You go to government.
Yeah, so that's the one location. We have all these different satellite license offices who are, of course, ran really well by Nick Matranga, the license commissioner. But to get the star ID, you have to go to an ALDOT office. Mm-hmm. And the one here is up there on
Demetropolis. Government. And so that's Mobile County. I don't know what – I know they've got – you can get it in Fairhope maybe, but Baldwin County's got their own place. But in Mobile, that's the one place you can go and get that done. And so it took me about an hour yesterday in the rain.
And it's kind of tricky because in that location, you look and the line's going out the door, but the first place you stop is maybe 5 feet inside. So the line, even though it looks like, oh, it's all the way out the door, it's actually not that long, especially when they're moving it along.
No, it didn't take all that long. It looks intimidating when you get there, like, how long am I going to be here? But it does move pretty quickly. I grabbed my number and showed stuff to the guy, verified that I had what I needed when I got to the window, and then there might have been a 10-minute wait.
So that's the thing, is if you come with the correct documentation, then it's easy peasy.
Yeah.
But I went a couple times before I finally had everything I needed, and one of my hangups, surprisingly, was getting a birth certificate. I had to order it from the city I was born or the state I was born up in Nashville.
Same thing for me.
Tennessee, yeah.
I needed a birth certificate, and it got to me like in a week. I was amazed. I was like, wow, I didn't think – and I didn't have a Social Security card, and I had to get it online, or that's – and probably in a week it was here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the experiences you have when you say – oh, well, I got it, and the lady behind the window, and she could not have been nicer. You know, you love when that happens.
Yeah.
This lady could have been nicer. She really, she just leveled out. There was no, how's it going? How about this rain out there? How you been? Nothing. Yeah. And so she could have been nicer. Now, efficiently, we got it all done. But she was not playing around. But luckily, I had everything I needed.
Well, as far as...
She could have been nicer.
As far as the person who takes care of you in a place like that, I would take rough around the edges, but gets the job done quickly over... A chatty Kathy who just keeps you there. Now, I love nice people, and I like to think of myself as one, but no one wants to hang around there that long.
Wasn't your experience a little different than mine? Like, way different. I thought that you were held up by something. Mine was, I was in and out.
No,
you know?
But for when I finally had the documents I needed. So, did you go over this? So, you need a current form of ID. You need four things.
Yeah.
And there's a list at the... Al.dot website, I think. Maybe Al.gov.
Yeah.
I think it's Al.dot.
Yeah, you can find that list anywhere.
And so you need a current form of ID, like, which if you have a current ID, that's fine.
License,
your driver's license. And by the way, they're going to punch a hole in it and give you a paper one, even if it's a valid ID. Learned that.
And then how long did it take, by the way, to get your new star ID in the mail?
You know, I've been doing so many different license things here recently. I think that one just took like a week or less, maybe. Maybe 2 weeks.
All right.
So you need a current form of ID. You need proof of citizenship. That's where the birth certificate came in. So there's a line. There's several of those options, not just birth certificates.
Yeah.
I think a passport maybe works well. I might be confusing the categories. And then you need two forms to show...
Like where you live?
I think so. You had to have the social, but you also have to have a bill of some sort.
Yeah.
And so that's what got me through. If you want the exact list, that's where you can get it. Now, Rebecca is saying you could still get your star ID after the deadline. You just can't fly before you get it, correct? Yeah, I guess
that's right.
Yeah, that sounds, sounds about right.
You can get it whenever you want to, but if you want to travel, out of an airport, mm-hmm. you need it before you go.
Yeah, we both had flights we were looking at. I flew for the first time in years and years last month, so I was wondering about that. Now, this texture, and this keeps coming up. If you're able, why not just go get a passport card? I mean, yeah, you can get a passport. My passport had expired.
I've never had a
quite
passport.
A while back. I had one when I was younger, and it expired just after my honeymoon, so I was able to get in under the wire there. And then I just didn't have any international plans and probably won't for some time unless I get deported, I guess, which the passport would really come in handy, show them that I am an American citizen. But sure, yeah. Why would you go do that? Just get a passport. Okay, do you want to carry a passport everywhere you go? If you're flying, I don't know, simple trip to Atlanta, you're going to take your ID and passport? We just had that story about... The pilot, he was flying from LA to China.
People,
they had to turn the plane around because she forgot her passport. I'm worried enough about losing the ID I have on me.
So basically, once you get the star ID, you put it in your wallet where your driver's license...
It becomes your driver's license.
It is your driver's license.
So yes. It just has a star on it.
So that makes it simple that...
I'm not saying the whole thing makes sense. I think it's...
Well, that makes more sense than carrying the passport everywhere.
It does. It seems... And maybe I'm in a complainy kind of mood, and my wife has been hearing it a lot from me. Whether it's the government or, I don't know, certain... Like insurance, for instance, car insurance. It feels like I'm doing work for these people all the time when I'm paying for a service. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm an American citizen and... don't have any major marks on my record or anything like that. And it's like, now you have to get this if you want to travel inside of America. Oh, my God. Okay. You know I have a real job, right? I have a family. There's things I'd like to be doing rather than work for free, especially if it's companies I'm paying to take care of things. It's like, go write down your mileage. Go do this. Go do that. Make sure.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I'm over it.
You also do mine. So we are our desks are right across from each other, and I'll be like, "Hey, D.O. So you notice in this story, Dalton did it first, break the seal for old Dan, so I know what's going on. And then I did. I had to get. I think he helped me with that, but one of those anyway. Got my birth certificate, got my social security card, and so now I've got to hold on to them.
And we just want to give you some insight what it's like going out to get that. I know some of you are looking for that. I'm not saying you have to go do that. And plenty of you clearly offended by us having this conversation. Let's see. Marty says it's not just for flying. If you enter any federal building, you will need it. Thanks, Marty. Now,
wow.
Pat says, My passport stays in my safe that I keep in my luggage bag, no different than my gun and other paperwork, just part of it. That's just part of your life, Pat. It's not my life. I don't want to carry a passport. Rebecca, also a passport expires after 10 years and you have to renew. Thank you, Rebecca. If you're able, we read that one, passport again. Natalie, we have an Aldot office in Foley. The guy working there is...
is what?
I've already started. I have to finish this. The guy working there is one of the most rude people I've ever met.
There you go.
No joke, guys. People walk out crying. Now, that's a DMV right there.
This lady did not... She didn't bring me to tears. She just...
I haven't had a bad experience at the license offices around here.
Well, I rarely do, and this was not a bad experience. It was just notable that she was all business, yeah. And I thought, wow, that's every day, every person in here, she treats the same
way.
Did
you shake hands after it was all said and done? Like,
you know what?
Good deal?
I actually left my glasses behind. I had to go back and see her again. And I said, did you happen to see my... And she said nothing and handed me my glasses through the window. It's like, you're here to annoy me again, aren't you?
She didn't even say, like, I'm surprised you found me without your glasses.
She didn't say anything.
Anything like that. Baldwin County, you can go to the Fairhope. Baldwin County office takes about 15 minutes. So are there multiple Aldot offices there on the Eastern Shore? It sure sounds like it.
Does.
We just have the one here. Gardner, you need a star ID unless you're an illegal immigrant. Maybe that's changing. Let's go through a lot of texts from earlier in the hour. So Ken says John Gray runs her campaign. It's talking on about, Facebook, talking about Connie Hudson.
Yeah.
That tiff began before I think he was officially part of the campaign, where he was saying that Spiro Chirogatis would just carry on the same people and same mindset as the Stimson administration, which, all things considered, it's not the worst. I know people have their gripes with Stimson, but as far as some of the things that are coming up in Mobile, I don't know if that's the worst tactic to say, hey, things are going pretty well. I might change a thing or two, but why? On a lot of these things.
I would agree.
Are you going
to
stop construction on some of this?
Well, you know, the big black guy really was down the stretch with Police Commissioner Prime. That was really, mm-hmm. if you were going to try to find any scandal, that would have been it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a hint of scandal or whatever, however you want to classify that.
A lot of takes on the Quinn conversation this morning. Let's see, Quinn.
I don't know that we've ever had more, but yeah.
Quinn suffering massively deep-seated Trump derangement syndrome. I don't know if he'd self-diagnose himself with Trump derangement syndrome. I would say he would tell you that he absolutely despises Trump, which is one and the same. Toothless Bammer says Quinn needs to quit while he's behind. Jason, let's see. There's no doubt a big time mistake was made, but Quinn and the anti-Trumpers will be beating this drum for a while. One thing that stuck out to me about the whole Signal controversy, this app, was Hegseth's response from Hawaii yesterday. And I think that came after the Trump administration said, yeah, that was a discussion about exactly what it looked like with these exact figures that it seems. But his comment that there were no war plans discussed. There have been time and time again, and you and I both, and I won't put you in this boat with me necessarily, but I think this was an own goal, if anything, because of the political optics, and especially after railing against the haphazardness of previous administrations and how they use classified information. But this hasn't, even though it looked very classified, what they were talking about, hasn't explicitly been called classified. And whatever it was that Goldberg kept back, where he said this was too much info, yep. would harm national security, for Hegseth to come out yesterday and say there was nothing, like no war plans discussed, either Hegseth is depending on everyone falling hook, line, and sinker for that, or this story ends up being lesser than it appears. Not that it wasn't still a huge mistake.
Or the story ends up being the end of Hegseth.
It will be the end of Hegseth. Well, I don't think so. Will it be the end of Waltz? I think he'd be more likely to be thrown under the bus, as he was the one, Mike Waltz, the national security advisor,
right.
who invited this Atlantic journalist into the conversation. I don't know where they go from here. I guess the one good thing is Trump wasn't directly implicated in that. He wasn't shooting off texts alongside the others. But the conversation itself was fascinating, too, and seeing them discuss this. You know, you go beyond that we shouldn't be seeing this anyway.
Right. But
and
we're
J.D. Vance was saying exactly what he says publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is kind of Europe's problem. They have to deal with trade through there much more than we do. It's actually a China problem as well, if you look at how much trade China had shut down because of this mm-hmm. Houthi campaign. But he said, and they were all kind of in agreement, we need to draw a little bit more out of the European countries if we're going to take care of this problem for them. And Vance was almost saying, I don't know if, you know, we'll go with whatever the president says, but I don't know if it's worth it.
Quinn was extolling the virtues of Goldberg himself, saying that he did the exact right thing. He handled it beautifully. And my question simply was, would he's the story. He is the story. Without him, there is no story, because he's the one outlier that got the text. And he happens to be the editor of The Atlantic. Oopsie daisy. What the blank, right? That was... And so simply all I asked Quinn was, if it had been the Biden administration that sent that text accidentally, would he have reported it the same way? And
Quinn's, I tend to think not.
I tend to think not. But Quinn tended to think he would have, because he's an upstanding journalist. Thinking, wow, where do you find those these days? you just look at all the things that Republicans and or Trump went through.
Let's go through those line by line in the next segment.
Yeah, Jeff won't even have to come on today. It's 8:51. We will preview the Jeff Poor Show straight ahead. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:50, just about 8:56. Now, we have had that fog alert earlier today. Looks like it's pretty much dissipated now, but it was a problem earlier and may still be in some spots. So just don't be in a big, big rush and take your time.
The Jeff Poor Show is on the way. First hour, Travis Johnson with Pathway Church joins Jeff. Second hour, he will have State Representative Mac Butler on the show. And then third hour, ALGOP Chairman. And what's his official title with the library system? President,
head
or
library
president of the
dude.
Board?
Head library dude.
Head library dude.
I guess the
master shush master. Oh, wait, that's master twice. The shush master.
Wall? Yeah.
John Wall. Yeah, he'll be on in hour number three. Texter here, I thoroughly enjoy y'all's program every morning. It's insightful, and I enjoy it, and thank you for it. No, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
This texter.
I mean, we're insightful when we're at a bar, but nobody's listening. thank you for listening.
Just the bartender, and they're rolling their eyes. This texter says,
it's them again.
That guy has had access, and we've been discussing this, that guy has had access to that signal text info stream for months or years. So the way that Goldberg put it was that Waltz, Mike Waltz, National Security Advisor, added him on his signal contact list. And signal is this. So it is, as far as publicly available applications, Signal, by my understanding, unless something has surpassed it here recently, is top of the line when it comes to end-to-end encryption. And according to Scott Jennings, he said there were government devices that had Signal preloaded on them. I don't know if that means that the previous administration was using that same form of messaging. Remember all the BLM riots? Yeah. They were using Signal. You see a lot of illegal activities, a lot of big-time cartel money, and those deals go down on the Signal app. These people are using the best thing they can find. That makes sense, right? So that's what they were using here. It wasn't a traditional text chain. That doesn't mean that this was entirely wrong, that there's no reason that Goldberg or anyone else should have been part of this conversation.
Goldberg, of all people, is pretty amazing.
Well, I would say that it would be worse to have a Houthi rebel part of it, but... Yeah, it was a massive mistake, but I don't know. Part of me, the way Hegseth came out, and I think we should hold him to account if it comes out this is exactly what it looked like, which is kind of what it looks like now. But he came out so forcefully against Goldberg's description of the screenshots he didn't put into the story that it makes me think Goldberg may have been embellishing a little bit.
Right. And we, you know, which news are you going to watch to try and find the truth?
And people are... obviously upset about the means to the end. I don't hear many people upset that this bombing campaign went on.
It is 8:59. Dan and Dalton back with you in the morning at 6 a.m.